You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
How do Concordia Universities prepare students for their next chapter in life and service to neighbor? Well, maybe even a career in the lively world of banana ball. The Savannah Bananas recently came to St. Louis to take on the Loco Beach Coconuts. And in just a moment, we'll meet number 17 of the Loco Beach Coconuts, who also happens to be an alumnus of Concordia University, Nebraska.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu.
Joining us in studio, Blake Benson. He's number 17, pitcher for the Loco Beach Coconuts in the world of banana ball. Blake, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Hello, guys. That was a really cool intro. That was awesome.
Did I get it all right?
Yeah, that was sick. I couldn't do that.
Because I do morning show, but I don't do sports normally. I'm not a sports announcer.
You are not.
I've announced one sporting event in my entire life, and it did not go well.
We joke about doing like live events, but that would not be our jam.
We could do live like games with the Loco Beach Coconuts.
We could
hang out and do live commentary. That would be...
It'd be terrible.
No one would enjoy it. We're not very good at live sports. No. So, Blake, thanks so much coming into the studio, hang out with us while you're here to play some ball. We appreciate you coming over to the studio. Let's for people who are not familiar with banana ball, maybe they've heard of the Savannah Bananas, maybe they've heard of the Loco Beach Coconuts. What is banana ball?
So banana ball is baseball by birth, fruit by name, an absolute worldwide phenomenon by the grace of God. So we call it as our intro. So basically just really fast baseball. There's 11 rules. One of the biggest rules is under 2 hours. It's like you're coming, game starts at 7, we end at 9, no matter what, unless there's like tie. And in between the innings and in between the runs, we dance and sometimes sing. There's some good singers out there. And so, yeah, it's a perfect place for kids, perfect place for families. And we're just there to have fun and celebrate joy, you know? Really cool opportunity just to go to a job knowing that I'm here to make people smile, you know? And so I love it. I'm very blessed to be a part of it. It's kind of my dream, dancing in front of thousands and playing in front of thousands, playing at MLB stadiums like St. Louis. And so, yeah, really excited for this weekend. And yeah, it'll be good.
I've seen so much of the banana ball land, I don't know, universe on my social media. It is so fun to watch. It's so fun to be entertained, especially as someone who enjoys baseball and also enjoys being entertained. It's been such a cool time to see what you guys get to do all the time and now to be able to have you in studio to talk with us. It's really fun. How did you first know about banana ball? What was your introduction to this sport/entertainment?
So I was in class at Concordia. And I have my professor, Benjamin Heatfoot was his name. And he said, Blake, I've seen you play baseball for a team, obviously. But I've seen you also dance. You should try it for the bananas. I was like, okay, I guess I'll try it. What do I got to do? And then my friend in the same class, Alex Johnson, he's a pitcher from Concordia. He now plays for the Salt Dogs, I think. That'd be their name, in Nebraska. And he's like, I'll help you. Figured out what you got to do to try out. And so he looked it up for me. And basically all I had to do was submit a video. And all they're wanting was anything besides baseball, like show something that would entertain others while on the field. Mm-hmm. And so I had the idea of like dancing on the mound while throwing baseball, like pitching. Because all my life, I've loved dancing. That was my passion even before baseball. I played hockey before baseball. And so, like, my passion was not hockey, really, but dancing. Like, I love dancing, and I kind of got bullied for it and like, in sixth grade and kind of just stopped dancing. But I still, like, just loved. I loved dancing all my life, ever since I could remember. And so, yeah, I was like, man, I'm going to put these two together. So I learned a backflip in 2 days. And then the next day, I was like, okay, I'm going to go do this. Took my little cousin out. She was 12 years old and I was, you know, 24 at the time. I was like, hey, you're going to go film me and I'm going to go throw in Farmington, little baseball field. And I was tell you when to stop. I said, okay. And so I did a handstand, did a little pin drop, a little breakdancing moves, did a backflip, threw a pitch. And I said, okay, thank you. And, sent a video, submitted it. I got an email like within 2 days, like, yep. Come to a tryout. Here's a listing of the tryouts. Just let us know what day works best for you. So that was in the summer. That was like July. And then I selected October as my October 15th. It was a Wednesday. I remember that. And it was in Kansas City. It was the last tryout they had of all the tryouts. And I knew I had to go back to Concordia to finish up my teaching license. And so, yep, I went to Concordia, drove back, went to Kansas City, drove back home, went to Kansas City. And there I tried out and I could have wrote everything that I wanted to happen like perfectly. And that literally happened. Like I did incredible. I faced 6 batters, struck them all out.
Wow.
The only person I didn't strike out is now my roommate, Sal Jacobo. He's now on the Loco Beach Coconuts with me. We were also party animals last year together. And so like it was literally perfect. I dressed up as a Jabberwocky, you know, the Jabberwockies. they're like break dancers with a white mask. That was my thing. And it was incredible. And over 1,000 people submitted videos. A little under 200 people got invited to try out, and then 16 of us made it. And so wow. That's been what my life has looked like for 2 years.
That's amazing. We should clarify that Party Animals is another team.
Yep.
You guys weren't like party animals. You were party animals on the team.
Yep, yep. 6 teams right now. Last year there were 4, so now 6 teams.
Oh, wow.
So, yep.
So you started off on the Party Animals team, now the Loco Beach Coconuts. Mm-hmm. Is there a different culture from team to team? Or a different,
yeah. I would say so. Bananas like are just like the golden boys. Like they're like...
Everybody knows the bananas,
the limelight,
right?
Yeah, you know. The beach, like we're all like sort of beach guys. Like I'm tan. Like a lot of us are sort of tan, you know. And we're just there to like, I guess the word is vibe. We're just supposed to hang out on the beach. Hang loose, let loose, and go loco is what we say. And so, yeah, Party Animals, they're all about dancing and stuff. And like we're all about like just being a great beach team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there are every game you come to, depending on who plays, like you're there for a different show. So not every game you go to is going to be the same thing you see. So
yeah,
that's what keeps people coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is pitching in banana ball different from pitching in like quote regular baseball? Other than the fact that like you're doing backflips.
Yeah.
That's
a
pretty obvious one. But what is the difference in the gameplay and what pitching is like for you?
Mm-hmm.
Regular baseball versus banana ball.
Yeah. So we had a meeting. We have a meeting both years. I've had a meeting with just pitchers of like, okay, what is the difference between baseball and banana ball? And the biggest thing is the 2 hours. Like we have to get a game in 2 hours. Like we cannot, because ESPN only gives us 2 hours to show a game, you know, and kids, you know, they're only like after 2 hours, they're tired.
Yeah.
True.
And so, yeah. So the biggest thing is how can we make this game fast paced? Well, it's all in the pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
You got to throw a pitch within 4 seconds of each other. You know, in baseball, you get 20 seconds to throw a pitch between each other.
It's really fast.
And so here we're expected, like we have videos of people. I think the fastest strikeout in banana ball history is 9 seconds. So
wow.
3 pitches in 9 seconds. That's like,
that's wild.
That's the best. But you know, in about 30 seconds, I'm expected to face at least one batter, like be done.
How do you keep your arm like from not falling off?
Well, the good thing is we only play the weekends.
Yeah.
So my arm is like in much better shape than it was in baseball, because baseball, I mean, we're throwing constantly. This time we're okay. I'm only expected to throw on the weekends. And so that's really good. But yeah, I have to run. Like in Concordia, we did not run. We did sprints and stuff. But here, like we have to run to make sure we're in shape for this, because this is like, I mean, yeah, it's only 2 hours long, but goodness, it is really tiring.
That sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
What, so you mentioned Concordia and your career there. Tell us about your baseball career at Concordia.
Yeah, man, it was incredible. I'll tell you the story of how I got here to Concordia. So I played 4 years of D3 baseball at University of Ozarks. And then I told my coach, hey, I want to play a summer league. I want to try to go D1. And because of COVID, I got 2 years of extra eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so... yeah, tried out or went to the summer thing called Northwoods League. It's a good summer baseball for college students and basically from like divisions, like Division I to NAIA, like Concordia was. And I played with some really good people, and a few people I played with are in the majors right now, actually. Really cool. It was a really cool opportunity for me being D3, you know, like this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I signed to play at Oral Roberts University. But because I didn't have enough credits to a major, which was my math major at the time, Well, actually, I just switched my major, so that's why I didn't have enough credits. They said I couldn't really go D1, so I have to look somewhere else. And it was like August, and school started mid-August. And I was like, okay. And I had my teammate, he like overheard my conversation about me kind of stressing about like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, hey man, there's a pitching wizard at Concordia. You should come with me. And I said, okay, I'll think about it. And then like a week later, still like haven't really had a plan or anything. And he came with me. He's like, hey man, like, have you thought about it again? I was like, bro, I think I'm gonna go to Concordia with you. Where's it at? And he said, yeah, it's in Nebraska. I was like, okay, let's do it. And that was like August 11th. I think August 20th was the first day of school. Drove back from Iowa. So I lived in Waterloo, Iowa for a summer to play with in Northwoods. Drove back to Arkansas. Just kind of like sat there for a week, readjusted, got packed up again, drove 8 hours to Seward, Nebraska. First time I've ever been there was a Sunday. And I was like, okay, I start school tomorrow. And I mean, it was wild, but I don't know. It was like a home, like a home away from home. Like I got along with all the people. Like everybody was just incredibly nice. And that's like one thing I'll say about Nebraska. The weather is atrocious. Like, oh my gosh, the weather, like I never seen more cold in my life. Like I like negative 50 degrees was insane to me being from Arkansas. Like the lowest we got is like maybe -5. And so really freezing and then really hot in the summers. But man, the people were incredible. And mm-hmm. so it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. I got to play baseball for 2 years and I stayed an extra semester to finish my teaching degree. I was going to be a PE teacher before all this banana ball stuff happened. And Coach Dupik, Ryan Dupik, he was my pitching coach and he taught me not only to pitch, but just be the best competitor I can be in anything. And I mean, and doing that, being the best player I could be with around like just amazing guys, just to have fellowship with other Christian guys, and to compete together. I mean, what a blessing it was. And I loved it.
We're talking banana ball with Blake Benson, number 17 pitcher for the Loco Beach Coconuts. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Blake Benson, number 17 pitcher for the Loco Beach Coconuts, playing in banana ball. If you haven't heard of banana ball, highly recommend you go check it out. You can also see Blake pitching with the Loco Beach Coconuts. We're sharing your story, Blake, of how you got involved with banana ball and your experiences at Concordia University, Nebraska. You shared a little bit about how you got to Concordia, which is a fun story. Tell us a little bit more about what it was like playing with the baseball team at Concordia, Nebraska, what that experience was like for you.
We were really good. Both seasons I was there, we won 40 games. And coming from Ozarks, we won like 19. That was our best in one season. And so just going two games, knowing that like you were the top dog, my last year, we were the regular season champions. And so like just being able to compete at a higher level was awesome. You know, we got to travel to Georgia. We got to fly for the first time as a team. Like that was incredible to me. Like I'd never flown. We flew to Florida for spring break and played like really the top teams in the country. And so like I love the competitiveness. It was like just awesome to play really good baseball, you know, and not expecting like, so at Ozarks, like people saw me as the best player, like, and that I put a chip on my shoulder. I was expected to be great every time I went out there, and at Concordia, I wasn't the greatest and I was okay with that because everybody else like pushed me and therefore I pushed myself like, okay, like, I want to be great, you know? And so, I mean, it was just a great opportunity to play in front of great other great ball players. We had four All-Americans on our team. And we had a pitching wizard, and I mean, it was just fun. And I think what really separated Ozarks, or not Ozarks, Concordia, was like we just hung out after baseball. I mean, we played Pokemon Go. Like, there was 30 of us sitting on our phones tapping the screen, and I'm not a Pokemon guy, and I was like, dude, what am I doing? But I'm just sitting here just tapping my phone with the guys, you know, because I love the camaraderie. We would sit at dinner from 5:30 to 8:30, not even eating. We're just sitting, just talking about stories and life. And it was like that was the best time. I played my longest Monopoly game from 9 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. And we just decided to quit the game just because it was just me and Alex Johnson just going around the circle of Monopoly. And, you know, stories like that, like you build like lifelong best friends. And I haven't seen those guys, you know, in the past 3 years of my life. But I mean, I'd invite them to my wedding just because like of how like the relationships we built were just incredible. And I loved it. Like it was just an absolute blessing by the Lord, like going from having no idea where Seward, Nebraska was on the map to like that place being a pinnacle place in my life. You know, that mm-hmm. place taught me what friendship was like, taught me how to be a man. Going teaching that semester of teaching, that was the hardest part of my life, like of all time. Like, that's another story, but I can get into it. We got time.
Well, yeah, let's talk about being a student athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about the baseball and being an athlete on campus, but what was it like being a student at Concordia studying education? You were planning on being a physical education teacher. So you spent a semester student teaching, is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So both my schools, they're both private Christian schools. And so being a student athlete, like they're both really small schools. So almost everybody's a student athlete. So it's just kind of like a expectation, like you're going to do a double job. Like you're here to teach or here to learn and do school books and then also practice on the side. So our days are from like 8 to 5, but the whole school was like that. So it was kind of understanding. That didn't really like when I got used to it, which was at Ozarks, like that life, like I was totally used to it and I was totally fine with that, you know. So I didn't really see myself as a student athlete just because everybody at the school was student athletes, which I know for people going like to the big schools who are just doing school, that would be kind of hard to fathom, but I'm sure they're doing double jobs. I never had the opportunity to work a job just because I was so, my hands were full just with baseball and everything. But yeah, teaching, that was, I showed up, man. I'm teaching in Milford, Nebraska, and all they do is farm. I learned that by driving because like they just had cornfields everywhere. And my first day, so to help you understand, I job shadowed the same teacher I was teaching at. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I job shadowed her for a good 2 months. And that was just one of my classes. I was just going to go job shadow. I wanted to be a PE teacher because I'm not very smart at math. I'm like, well, I can figure out PE because that's what I do a lot of my life. So yeah, job shadow her. First day, I'm the intern. So I'm like, we get a nice little two weeks of intro to understand what teaching is going to be like for them or like kind of like set expectations for us. And my first day, she's like, hey, she sent me a text like, hey, I got a toothache. I'm going to the dentist. I don't know how long it's going to take, but you're teaching. I said, okay, thank you for letting me know. I'll let you know how it goes. And that was my first day of teaching. That she told me, hey, you got this. Like you remember me. I was there a semester ago. And, from day one to the semester, I was teaching full time. And, that was probably the hardest time of my life just because of the people around me that I didn't have. Like I would wake up at 6:30 every day. I would go teach and I would pour out my heart and soul for kids, you know? And like I would teach them, like I would prepare lesson plans and I'd be excited for the day. And I would love, like that was my dream, was to change lives. And I was either going to be a pastor, I was going to be a coach, or I was going to be a teacher because those are the biggest impacts on kids besides parents. And that's what I want to do, was change lives. So teaching, this is my dream, you know. And I go out there and, man, kids. Oh my gosh, they are ruthless. Like I do a teaching lesson plan, and they do not care, like at all. And so I have a love and hate relationship with kids. Like some kids are just absolute angels. That's why I've always learned. Like when I was a kid, the quiet kid always got the rewards, the awards at the end of the year. And now being a teacher, I understand as a, you know, I'm like, okay, that makes sense of why they get the awards. But yeah, so I would go home. I had the same three meals every day. I'd have cheese. I have eggs, four eggs with cheese and salsa in my, for breakfast. I'd read my Bible in the morning. And then I would listen to Christian music on my way to school. I'd have chicken and rice and broccoli every day for lunch. And then I have mac and cheese and beef. And I would just go to Walmart for the weekend and make the same three things every day for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was grinding. And I lived with three other baseball guys. They were still playing baseball. And in the fall, which is when I was teaching semester, they would be done at 9 p.m. because like the long practice days, and then they work out after because my coach, like, basically we practice and then work out after. Like that was his philosophy, and I totally backed that up. But yeah, so I would go home at 4 o'clock. I would eat some grapes to like just kind of give myself alone time, I guess. Like I would eat my grapes and just sit on my phone for 30 minutes. And then I would go and I would train. I would work out and throw into the net and work on my dance moves because I knew banana ball tryout was coming up in October. And that was like wake up, go home, train, and then clean and go to bed. I did that for 5 straight weeks, and that was my life. My person I talked to the most was my mom. And like it taught me what loneliness is, what quietness is. I read books for the first time in my life, books that I just like enjoyed. Yeah. Like I read books out of enjoyment, not just for homework. And like I just learned, like, that was the biggest like moment of my life with the Lord, because I learned to just truly depend on Him for everything. And, you know, I loved it. Like I was so at peace with everything. Like no matter like how stressful I got, how stressed I got, and no matter like how drained I felt from the kids, like I never really had a bad day. It was just hard, but it was okay, because like I knew like this is what I wanted to do. This is why, teachers changed my life, and I'm here to change others' life. And the banana ball called, the tryout came, and they love me, and now I get to impact kids a lot more, like in a lot different way. And now they're excited to see me, unlike a teacher. And so that's the biggest difference. And like now, like I post videos like with kids, just like them asking for a ball, and I'm just standing there looking at them, and like they pull that ball out of their pocket. Oh my God! I'm like, dude, you had a ball this whole time. You're asking for a ball, stuff like that. You know, I love kids. It's just like different seeing, like knowing that I'm famous now. You know, they all think, I don't know. That's like my dream. It's just to change lives. And so in the off season, I go and I go to schools and talk about my story and talk about my time of being bullied and dancing and stuff. Like, man, like I still dance, and now I'm cool for it. The only thing that changed is perspective, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was called weird all the time. All my life I was called weird. I was like, you know what? What's the difference between weird and unique? You know, nothing besides the words or the letters. And so that was kind of my motto to them, like, just be you, like you're unique for a reason. The Lord made you that way. And so, and I love it. I'm living my dream, living my absolute dream, dancing, playing baseball, changing lives, you know? And so, yeah. And now I'm here.
Now you're here. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like that was a really formative time for you at Nebraska, and going through student teaching and surviving that. What have you learned over the last year of playing banana ball, of learning this life of impacting kids in a different way, as you said? What have you learned about yourself, about how you serve people in the last year?
I've learned authenticity is the best way out. Like, I'm still weird. People call me weird. Kids call me weird. Like, okay, yeah. Like, that's okay. My teammates call me weird, you know, and I love it now. Like, I've learned to just accept, like, this is who I am. This is the Lord. This is who He made me, you know, and He made me with fear. Like just, I don't know. I've learned that relationships, like there's a reason why God, like, gives us the feeling of lovingness towards others. There's a reason why he gives us loneliness, and it's because we crave like attention from others, and God calls us to have fellowship with others. And so being in a job where every weekend I go out and empty myself for people who don't even know my name, or yeah, they don't even know my name. They say 17, give me a ball. Like there's a reason like I'm here, you know, and it's taught me other things. Like being a professional baseball is a lot different than college, you know. I'm only here because of the things I do. Nobody is here to help me. Social media, we're encouraged to do social media. Social media stresses me out. Like I was told as a Christian, like don't be a part of social media. You're supposed to live a quiet life, which I still stand by that. Like I would totally tell anybody who's looking at my social media, don't be on it. Like, I mean, I still get in the way of myself sometimes, comparing myself to my teammates who are really famous, you know. I would still stand by that. Like, stay away from social media, even if I'm the one posting all the time. Like, I'm just supposed to because it's my job. Mm-hmm. But I've learned to use it. This is like, I have a platform to share the gospel, and I do it. You know, it's a little scary at times. It's the most stressful time, or the most stressful part of my job is sharing the gospel online. Because it's my words and they can be skewed, you know, misinterpreted, taken the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And so that is definitely the most stressful part. And so there, like, I try to post like once a week, just like sharing a verse of the day or verse of the week. It's kind of my thing. And then just sharing like moments and dances. And yeah, that's kind of what I do, I guess. And that's kind of the challenge, is like finding that niche that it took me a year and a half to figure out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So the season, you know, it's August right now. The season goes through October for you, for Banana Ball with the Loco Beach Coconuts. What do you hope is next?
Well, I hope next year I'll be back. I love this job. I told the coach, like, hey, man, like, I love you. I love this. I love, like, being a part of the team you made. And I love representing you. I love representing the Loco Beach. So I hope to just do this for as long as I can. And when they tell me that I'm not good enough, maybe I'll be the next dancing umpire, because I love to dance, you know? And so that would be really cool for me. And if not, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, maybe go back to teaching. Maybe go back at home, teach, like go back home and teach like one of my alma maters, you know? But I don't know. I feel like this job has given me a lot more opportunity to do other things. And so I'm kind of just being in the moment, being present, and just doing this as long as I can.
Blake, thanks so much for spending the time with us. I know that you have got plenty of things to get to while you're here in St. Louis getting ready for a game. We're recording today before the game, yes. But this will air after the game, so we'll find out how it went later on.
Yes. Everyone who listens will know.
Right? Our guest today, Blake Benson, number 17. He's a pitcher for the Loco Beach Coconuts. Thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me. This is amazing. I love it.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.